What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. My name is Sean Meehan, and joining me as always is man being controlled by a rat, Mr. Connor Lawler.
I just love making specific meals called based after my name.
Ratatouille. The only thing that came to my mind was Cal Cannon there, which is kind of like your name.
Canzoni?
Canzone?
Cans of peas?
Cannelloni, there we go.
Chili con carne. I mean, that was the easiest one, but we skipped that.
Staring us right in the face.
This is your first episode. It gets better, is what I would say. This is Hero Zero. This is the show. As we said, we choose one comic book character every single week. I normally choose DC characters. Sean normally chooses Marvel characters. His introductions to me are getting worse every week. So
I say the introductions are fine. It's the follow-up is the issue.
Yeah, but you know I'm dumb, right? And you set me up actively knowing I'm bad.
I do that.
For your own enjoyment. And I don't like that. So I last week did Our Man. And it was a great success. Everyone was hailing it as the greatest episode of all time. Went down in history. And so you're up this week. You've been on a bit of a stretch, a bit of a run, where we all agreed your last report, now we're not going to say it too far, too loud, but it was the worst report we've ever done. And that was actually written into us multiple times.
What are we doing? What the fuck is going on here? I'm just setting the stage.
I'm being an observer. I'm not attacking you, Sean. I'm just saying what the people are telling me. The people are telling me you're shit. And so they were saying, you need to stop, give up on life, go away. That's what I heard multiple times. This is not from me. Remember again, I love you. I think you're fantastic, right?
This is really weird. Like, this is essentially a work day that we're doing right now, and this is a weird dynamic that you're bringing into it.
Look, everyone in the office loves you, man, right? But I've just been hearing some rumours that you're bringing up a lot of Warhammer. People are getting a bit annoyed.
Dude, the Warhammer episode was very well received. Anyway, Connor, I'm doing a character today that is, genuinely, I don't think we've talked about before, but is an actual good character.
Oh, okay. Okay, well,
it's not going to go off the rails. It's going to be a straight down the middle Spider-Man villain that we're talking about.
I'm excited. What I will say first, by the way, is if this is your first episode, you don't have to do anything, right? Don't worry about it. But if this is your second or more episode, you do have to give us a like, 5 stars, maybe on Spotify, iTunes, whatever you're on. We have a Patreon. If you want to go over there, you can support us there. Or perhaps just tell one human being that we exist. You know what I mean?
Just the one, please.
Just the one. And so now Sean has set the stage. Now, do you remember 2 weeks ago when we also said give us 5 stars and then you came in with that report that we won't talk of, but everyone knows what we're talking about. So
there was a Spider-Man villain as well, actually.
It was set up. Marvin Sims, was it?
Ezekiel Sims. Marvin Sims is a famed jazz artist.
Ezekiel Sims from Madam Web, the villain. So, can only go up. You love Spider-Man. We love Spider-Man here. Sean, please take the floor.
Here was my thought process, is that I covered a villain from a Spider-Man adjacent movie that's not that good.
Yeah.
I'm going to cover a villain from a Spider-Man movie that's pretty good. So, first debuting in Amazing Spider-Man number 2 from February 1963... we're talking about Adrian Toomes, Connor.
Ooh.
The Vulture.
The Vulture. Part of one of my favourite cinematic scenes of all time. And I think that's a lot of Michael Keaton. But
he does carry it, to be fair.
We're all thinking the car scene is...
Yeah, good old Spider-Man.
Your good old pal Spider-Man. Amazing. One of the best scenes ever put in the Spider-Man. Please, continue.
Excellent. So, created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, that's pretty good creators.
Steve Ditko created them, okay.
Yeah, Steve Ditko did all the work there. Young Adrian Toomes' parents died during his early years. He was raised by his older brother Marcus and found to be intelligent by all of his teachers at school. The tables turned, however, where Marcus was involved in a motorcycle accident and was left needing a wheelchair. So it ended up that Adrian ended up looking after his older brother. As an adult, he became an electrical engineer and inventor, and along with his business partner, Gregory Bestman, started Bestman & Toombs, a small electronics firm. It was during this time that Toombs first developed an electromagnetic harness that would allow the wearer to fly.
Connor. What was Gregory's role in Adrian Toombs' wedding?
He was he wasn't invited, actually. Didn't know him at the time.
Hated him. Fucking hated him.
Fucking did not get on. Well, actually, now that you say that, Toombs' excitement at his invention was cut short because he discovered that Bestman had been embezzling money from the company, Connor.
More like worst, man. What are you doing?
Just sometimes comedy is easy, folks.
Sometimes it's not funny either.
So when Toombs physically confronted Bestman in his office, he found that exposure to the harness had actually increased his strength. However, Bestman fired Toombs for attacking him and assumed full control of the company. So he just took over.
So wait, now, the harness gave him powers?
Yeah. We're not going to talk about that. It just happens.
Just in general, just as in like, it was heavy enough that he started getting some, you know, girth just through fucking lifting, bro.
You would think that'd be a good explanation, but yeah. No, it was the 60s and the suit used electromagnets, so they just figured that'd change something.
People are fucking idiots, they don't understand what's going on. Okay, cool, I get you.
So Toombs retired to a small farm on Staten Island and continued to work on his harness. In the meantime, Bestman decided to sell the company. Learning of this, Adrian adopted the guise of the Vulture, creating a costume and decorating his harness, and ransacked Bestman's office and stole his money back. Having enjoyed the experience, Toombs decided to become a costumed criminal full-time.
Does Bestman not know, right? If you fired a guy, right, and his invention was a big harness with wigs, and then your office was robbed by a mysterious person who had a big harness and wigs and stole specifically all of the money that was owed to the previous person that you fired. I feel like those dots would be put together, that you'd be like, hang on a minute.
He doesn't care. He's a man on the edge. He's got nothing left to lose, Connor.
Right, okay, cool.
In one of his earliest outings as the Vulture, Toombs robbed the Park Avenue Diamond Exchange, in which beforehand he tauntingly announced to the public would be the site of the robbery. So he made a full like statement. He was like, listen, I'm the Vulture, I'm a new crime guy, I'm going to rob all of those diamonds.
You know what? I respect the hustle. I respect the big balls on Brad to be like, look, this is what I'm going to do.
Well, everyone expected, oh, he's going to fly in.
Yeah.
So they had a load of like police up on rooftops and everything like that. But he just came in through the sewers. And just robbed all the diamonds and no one stopped him.
You know what? That's actually really good as a character.
He outsmarted him.
Like, you should be 100% like on camera having the wigs on your back being like, I love flying. Golly gee,
Best one there is.
I glide into every crime that I commit. Now, I'm going to rob that jewellery store and I'll say no more about it.
So, he gets away from the police and everything. Spider-Man eventually catches up with him and manages to disable his wings by using an anti-magnetic inverter that he had just designed.
Is that just a big magnet?
It's more of a little device that he clicks and things happen.
Sorry, yeah, I forgot it was the 60s. Sorry.
60s.
He presses a button and shit happens.
I will say, that like switcheroo of going into the sewers, that's really good for, you know, Spider-Man number two. Like, that's a good bit.
Yeah, I think that's actually like a really clever villain thing that like you show so much doing that one simple thing that he's like, I'm going to commit this crime, and then he's smart enough to do a different thing. He doesn't always have to go by the gimmick. He has
exactly.
The gimmick, but he isn't the gimmick fully.
So he managed to escape from the prison that he was thrown into and he resumed his crime spree. He fought Spider-Man, who found that the magnetic inverter no longer worked against the Vulture's wings. He had made upgrades to them. Spider-Man took a serious fall, spraining his arm in the process. This is Spider-Man, who has the proportional strength of a spider and is basically unkillable, sprains his arm after a little fall.
A Spider-Man ever sprain this? I don't think he can sprain something.
I've just read it out to you.
You've just said it, but I'm saying, like, we've seen him be thrown through fucking walls. Yeah. And he, like, walks
and wasn't
it
he
off.
Lucky that he didn't get a sprain in the process?
Do you think he ever has that thing where one of his legs falls asleep and he goes to stand up and his ankle goes, like, sideways? He's like, oh, fuck.
Straight
my ankle, man.
About twice a week I wake up with that and it gets me every time.
And do you think Peter Parker's like, I would stop crying, but have the ankle on ice again this evening? Fucking hell.
Does Mary Jane fucking cool down those cool packs, huh? Get the peas ready.
He's killing a lot of people in the streets.
I wish I could help.
My ankle.
The Vulture later attacked the Daily Bugle, and Spider-Man defeated his foe this time by pinning his webs with webbing so he couldn't actually fly, because he has to flap them to fly.
Okay, cool.
So, the wings with webbing. So, after being defeated by Spider-Man for the second time, the Vulture became a founding member of the Sinister Six. Himself and five other members of Spider-Man's rogue gallery, those being Doc Ock, Sandman, Mysterio, Electro and Kraven the Hunter, all teamed up to defeat Spider-Man.
And they all kind of look at each other and they're like, we know his weakness is small minor falls and he will have owies on his wrists if we do
He's
that.
He's had one sprain, so it's likely to go again.
It's easily sprained again. Not broken, not severe, but just enough that he's like, oh, that wrist is at me now for the rest of the day. That's what we want, lads.
Exactly. And so, with the Sinister Six, due to their shared sense of pride, they did not team up. They teamed up and made plans, but then they all just decided to fight Spider-Man individually. So, they were all defeated, and Toomes was sent back to prison. While in prison, he became cellmates with Raniero Blackie Drago. For months, Drago would pester Toomes for the location of his other pair of vulture wings. Because he wants to become the Vulture, is his whole deal now.
Where are the wings? Where are they? Come on! Tell me.
Eventually, Drago arranged an accident in the prison workshop to seriously injure Toomes, hoping to pry the wings' location out of him while he was on his deathbed. Having gained the information he needed, Drago broke out of prison and became the new Vulture. He was eventually defeated by Spider-Man. This is where they had a crisis of confidence and they didn't want the Vulture to be a very, very, very old man. And they just made him like a young 30, 40-year-old.
Which I suppose is okay, but also, why does he have to be, like, really old? Like, Adrian Toomes is what age?
Adrian Toomes is, like, 60s, 70s, generally.
Okay, so I can understand why they did it, but... Okay.
But I think it's interesting because the suit, we'll get into this later, but the suit gives him an edge over men half his age. Like, because it makes him stronger and makes him faster.
There's the idea that he is smarter and he's like an old style criminal.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. He can outthink just brawn, basically. So meanwhile, Toomes recovered from his injuries and escaped from prison. Laying low, he created another pair of wings while he formulated his revenge. He decided to break Drago out of jail and gave him the original wings, planning, in fact, to beat his former cellmate in combat to prove to the world that he was the one true Vulture.
So he's like doing a fight by honor kind of style.
Yeah, he's like, there can be only one. He's Highlandering this.
Right, okay.
After a vicious aerial battle, Toomes knocked out Drago and then turned his attentions to Spider-Man. Who had been observing the fight. Spider-Man was just watching this happen.
He's wearing like a black and white shirt. He's like counting 1, 2, 3.
Despite Spider-Man's best efforts, the Vulture did manage to escape. Now, as mentioned, Vulture is a very, very, very old man. So during one of his many periods of ill health, Toomes actually made friends with a guy called Nathan Lubensky, a man who had become the new love interest in Aunt May's life.
Oh, Lord. Nathan, surely not a young man himself.
He's not a young man himself, but he just became friends.
Okay, he's now, spry.
Well, Nathan is wheelchair bound and he doesn't know anything about Adrian Toomes' criminal past or anything like that. But he just sees this sick old man and he's like, hey, look, don't give up just because you're sick. Like, you can still do things. Look at me. I do things all the time. The Vulture would take Nathan's influence to heart. However, irony would serve him a cruel blow. During another conflict with Spider-Man as part of the new Sinister Six, the Vulture sought to use a hostage as a shield and selected Aunt May from the crowd.
Oh.
Little did he suspect, though, that Nathan was also with May, and Nathan leaped from his wheelchair and grabbed Toomes. Still not realising who it was, Toomes flew up high into the air with Nathan on his back, warning him to get off. Nathan took one look down, realised how high up they were, and it triggered a fatal heart attack. Toomes fled the scene as Nathan fell. Though he was successfully caught by Spider-Man, Nathan died in Aunt May's arms.
Did he just kill a man in a wheelchair?
Killed a man in a wheelchair who was also his only friend.
All right. Tough. You know what that is? That's a tough story to sell to kids. I feel like, to be like, this 70-year-old man killed this other 70-year-old man.
Just you wait for what comes up in this report, Connor. Adrian Toomes was later diagnosed with cancer.
Fantastic. This is real bright.
Caused by frequent exposure to the elements needed to power his flying machine. In an attempt to be forgiven for all of his previous sins, the Vulture terrorised the Parker household, pleading that Aunt May forgive him for indirectly causing Nathan's death.
Come on! Please!
An enraged Peter attacked Toomes. Just attacks him as Peter Parker.
Okay, cool.
Forcing the Vulture to capture him and take him back to his old lair. After escaping, Peter switched into his Spider-Man costume and brutally assaulted the Vulture.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no.
In the ensuing battle, the Vulture's power pack malfunctioned and exploded, setting his wings ablaze. Spider-Man successfully ripped the burning pack off of the Vulture, and the two crash-landed in a muddy ditch. After being arrested, Toomes was returned to the Parker home so that May, who was reunited with Peter, could identify him as the man who had terrorised her, basically. May hoped that Toomes' death would be slow and full of suffering. The next day, she visited Toomes in prison and apologised for such cruel remarks, but stated that she could not forgive him and that any kind of redemption would be left up to him and God.
Jesus, that May spitting bars.
Oh, there's some really hardcore... Yeah. Parker family lines in this. There's one coming up. This is my last little story that I have about the Vulture. He does fall into, for a while, just being like a sick old man who wants to make amends but doesn't know how.
Well, to be fair, that is the story that all 12-year-olds want to read about. That, really. Like, true. If I'm like, oh boy, another comic book, Spider-Man, can't wait to read about this existential crisis of this pensioner.
So, yeah, and so during the Civil War... he was taken into custody by S.H.I.E.L.D. He witnessed Spider-Man unmasking himself from his jail cell. After Spider-Man went rogue, Toomes spoke with one of the agents and commented on Spider-Man's inherent weakness, that being his unwillingness to use his own powers for personal gain.
Weak wrists.
Delicate wrists.
He's got little owies on the end of his arms and we need to take advantage of that.
So S.H.I.E.L.D. returned his flying machine and encouraged him to hunt down Spider-Man, as he was now considered a criminal.
So now S.H.I.E.L.D. Later, are like, they're letting out the criminals to catch Spider-Man.
Yeah, because if you're like, because Spider-Man changes sides and he's now anti-registration.
Yeah.
So if you have Spider-Man, like, against you and fighting against you, that's a bad time.
Yeah, so they're obviously going to let all of the villains out to try and get him.
Exactly. So later on, the Vulture attacked Spider-Man and managed to slash him with a powerful sedative. Toomes, however, fell unconscious, and sensing that something was wrong, Spider-Man rushed him to the hospital. Toomes woke up a few hours later, where doctors revealed that he had suffered a stroke, and many of his muscles on the left side of his body had been paralysed.
Fucking hell. What 12-year-old is like... Yeah, this is great.
Can't wait to see the Vulture struggle with rehabilitation after a stroke.
Oh, wow. Boy, oh, boy.
When the doctor left, Spider-Man snuck in and Toomes asked him to kill him because he was too weak.
Ah, perfect. What a great story.
When Spider-Man refused to do so, he told Spider-Man that he was also weak and always had been. After making remarks about Uncle Ben, Spider-Man took a pillow... and began suffocating him.
Sorry, say that sentence again.
After making remarks about Uncle Ben, Spider-Man took a pillow and began suffocating the
vulture. In my head, I have like full Spider-Man outfit. He's dressed like Tobey Maguire's outfit. He's like in the suit in the hospital just covering this old man's face.
That's a Spider-Man who would suffocate someone, I feel.
True.
Tombs fought back and Spidey removed the pillow, commenting, "For someone who's begging to die, you fight for life pretty hard."
What the fuck is going on, Peter? Jesus Christ.
He's just fully ready. He's one of his oldest villains. He's so fucking sick of this, dude.
He's just like, "What's that, old man? You can't breathe. Oh, sorry."
And then after this, an event in Spider-Man comics happens called Brand New Day, where they retcon a bunch of stuff, and the Vulture just becomes less interesting after that.
Okay.
So that's where we're leaving the actual history of the Vulture. But in terms of powers and abilities, no actual powers. He's just a genius, and he has an electromagnetic wing harness. So he can fly up to 95 miles per hour. It gives him superhuman strength, vitality and athletic prowess. He can lift roughly 700 pounds while he's wearing it. It can also, the feathers are sharpened and he can like eject them off and they just replace themselves. So he can shoot you from afar as well.
So like, I have a question then. Your opinion, why, when they were doing the Tom Holland trilogy, where they were like, let's start with Tombs, he's the best option. Because it's not a character you would pick for the first movie, I think, to reintroduce that character, really?
No, but I think it's a good, it's a good, he's a good ground level villain. It's true. Not a galactic threat. He's just not a small time crook, but he's a crook. He's a robber. So it's a good one for him to go up against. He's also weird. That's a very high level overview. He is weirdly sympathetic, especially in the movie. Like, a lot of the times you feel sympathy for the Vulture in comics is when he's sick or when he's dying or when he's suffered a stroke or anything else that went on with him. But the way they did it in the movie was that you have sympathy for him because, like, he was a hard-working dude who got everything taken away from him. Granted, he didn't handle that the best.
No.
But you can see his logic.
But you know what? The more you were doing that report, the more I was like, it's fascinating that they were like, They nailed it in terms of, okay, we've got a young Tom Holland. He's only like 19 or 18. So what would be really interesting is if we cast Michael Keaton on the opposite end and he's the villain, but he's like, he's just a crook, a normal neighborhood Spider-Man level villain. Because then I just think it's super interesting that you bring that in. Then you have that great chemistry between the two of them. I think that character, it's weird that you do that whole report in terms of comic books, and all I think of is like, somebody gave that the green light to be like, this is the one we're going with, first of all, instead of Kraven, instead of Green Goblin, instead of like all the main ones.
Yeah, I think it does work for a young Spider-Man as well, because in that movie specifically, he is like, he's new to superheroing. He just wants to be an Avenger and stuff. And he doesn't have a lot of, like the bit with Donald Glover where he's doing the interrogation.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a lot of actual common sense.
Real life experience.
Exactly. Whereas Tombs, he might not be superpowered, but he's all real life experience. He's always been working.
Street smarts.
Yeah. Which I think is nice to have those two sides play off each other.
You know what? Like, it's a character that I never really think of when I think of Spider-Man. Like, I don't think of him as one of the big bads, even though he's part of the Sinister Six. But, like, he's a really interesting character just in terms of he's very unlike the other villains that Peter Parker has. Like, they all normally have, like, superpowers of some kind because Spider-Man is so overpowered. It's weird that one of his villains is just an old man in a suit.
And he will occasionally get into fist fights with them. There's a really good bit in the Spider-Man PS4 game, and you fight the Vulture, and during the fight, Peter's like, he's trying to talk him down. He's like, you don't want this. Like, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
And the Vulture's just pure rage. But Spider-Man is like, listen, you can just live a normal life. It's okay.
It's one of those where, like, I think of the Vulture, I think he should be a Batman villain. Like, he'd be a great Batman villain. Spider-Man should kill that old man every single time.
They had to, like, canonically nerf Spider-Man by being, no, he's just too good of a person. to actually kill, like, hurt anyone.
Yeah. Like, because, like, once you start actually putting down Spider-Man's powers, like, 65-year-old man in the suit that makes him slightly more powerful, like,
yeah, he always cool. gets pasted.
Spider-Man, like, is murdering that old man over and over again. Like, so, yeah, I just think super interesting character. And I think a lot of people probably don't give the love and respect. I'm glad that movie came out, because I think that was the first time people had seen him, like, on a mainstream level, other than maybe the animated shows.
Yeah, 100%. And in Spider-Verse 2, I really love the Renaissance Vulture that comes in.
Yeah, that's such a good one.
One of my favourite designs ever.
Yeah, but that movie's full of all of our favourite designs of everything.
That's very true. Ben Reilly, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Ben? So, Sean, that's a great report. I think you've made up for it.
Hey,
there was
do something weird next time.
There was no mention of any spider totems.
No. I stopped the report before any of that took place.
Is Tombs involved in that?
I think there's some magic stuff. So sometimes he keeps the powers when he has the suit on. It's a whole thing.
Ah, sorry.
Don't worry about it. I forgot.
A lot of the stuff around 2004 is shit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, it is.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Lads.
So, look, if you like the report, we've done hundreds of other characters at this point. We've covered lots of DC characters, lots of Marvel characters. They're all up there. Now, if you have a favourite character, please have a search through Spotify or iTunes or any of your podcast platforms. If we haven't done them, well, I mean, great news is you can message us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, basically any of the socials. Just contact us and say, I'd like to do you two guys to do a report on this character. We'll say fantastic. Throw them into the list, because we're compiling. People are always sending things in, and we put them down and we work our way through them slowly.
Slowly, it's once every 2 weeks we do either DC or Marvel, so we'll get to all of the characters eventually.
Eventually,
and then we'll
redo
some.
And you guys are kind enough to send them in, so that kind of keeps us going as well, because if that's what people want to hear, then we're very happy to do reports on them. We also have a Patreon, as I mentioned at the start. We do lots of movie reviews over there, and we will be hopefully putting out a Dune review next week at some stage.
Yep. We'll be doing a review.
But it won't be on the Patreon, it'll actually be put up just on Spotify and iTunes.
Public episode.
Just, it's a big episode, so it's a Dune 2 review, if you want to listen to that. And most importantly, as I said, just tell one human being that we exist, really.
Just the one, please. That's all we need. Thank you.
So, I've been Conor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
And we shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.